Good morning and welcome to Mid-Morning on this Thursday. I'm Lynn Ford.
I'm Peggy Sue Wells.
This is our Spots and Spotlights for September, and we enjoy every single Spots and Spotlights. But
this
today,
this
one gets an A+.
It does.
Plus. And a third plus because Mary's here.
And Mary is fun, and you'll get to meet her at 10:15.
Artist Mary Coons, and she's everything that Peggy Sue told me she was, and even more so in person. 90.3 WBCL. You're listening to Mid Morning.
Artist Mary Coons creates house portraits, but they're far more than a picture of a house because they're illustrations that insightfully frame your memories of places that have been important in your life and in the lives of your loved ones. Mary's done hundreds of warm and whimsical portraits of homes. At her website, marycoonsdesigns.com, if you go to the house page, there's a film, and it shows what it's like to own or to give one of these pieces of art. Definitely a one-of-a-kind piece, each one. While house portraits are Mary's specialty, she also illustrates books. She teaches art workshops at schools. She's an author. She's a book and antique lover. And she has the most fun vocabulary ever. So welcome to Mid-Morning, Mary Coons.
Ooh, that's a tough introduction to live up to. I will do my best.
Tell me, what is a house portrait? Like, what does it look like? The size, the texture, the medium, the color?
Well, for the most part, I have worked in pen and ink for years and years and years. I like most houses, a drawing of them will work fine in 11 by 14 because I have found it's a kindness to my customers to do something that's a standard frame size. Now, I also do historic reconstructions and farm portraits, which I'm sorry, but you're just signed up for custom framing because there's not a farm on this planet that fits in an 11 by 14 drawing, and you have to do the research into the proper tractors, the proper equipment, everything has to be included, and that's true with farm portraits or drawings of homes. You have to get the details right. It's not just about the art and the drawing. It's houses are big boxes for memories, and what I find makes the drawing important is that it captures all those things that happened at the house. The corner where your dog always sat waiting for dad to come home, the crack in the sidewalk where mom found her earring, the window through which you could always see the portrait of great Uncle Ferdinand, whatever. But I interview my customers to draw out the memories that make that home so special. And you know, the odd thing is, don't get me started, but the odd
thing, I think we already have.
I'm afraid so. I'm approaching number 500 of the house portraits I've done. I started in 91. But the thing is, I'd say the vast majority of them are not the Victorian mansion on the hill that everybody in town thinks I ought to draw. Mm-hmm. It's the bungalow at the foot of the hill where all your memories are housed. Mm-hmm. That's what's so crucial.
The thing I've noticed about your portraits is I could look at it and also look at the house on the street, and there is a difference in what you have put on canvas compared to what I see on the street. It's like you have brought the life to it. You, like you said, the house portraits are more a picture of people's memories than they are of the actual structure.
I wish I could remember the author of this little verse. It got me started early on. The poem goes, I remember the house where I was born, the little window where the sun came creeping in at morn. You got to get that feeling onto the paper. Pen and ink, or I do ones with watercolor washes too, but what's crucial is that the detail would hold. That not too long ago, I put the name of the town newspaper on the folded paper at the doorstep. It's
all the details.
It's looping in the details.
So when someone comes to you and says that they want to do one of these portraits, what are the questions that you ask them? How do you get to know them so that you can put their memories on paper?
It's similar to what you guys do. You put people at ease, and then the memories just flow out. Of course, I ask about pets. Of course, I ask about porch furniture. I mean, yeah, there is a standard list of questions about the tree that did lightning take out any crucial shrubbery? Would you rather have the lilacs back after Dad decided to root them out? I mean, I landscape for free.
Nice, nice. So classic questions that you would ask, you said about the pets and that sort of stuff. The people that come to you, what kind of, people, who was coming to you saying that they want a picture of this house?
Not your usual suspects. It's a wide spectrum. And like your previous interviewer, mm-hmm. Doug, I'm not much at advertising. Mm-hmm. I have a 40% return customer ratio because once people figure out about these, it's a really good idea. And don't get me started about what a good gift idea it is.
Oh,
either.
No, please talk about the gift that. Idea. Yeah. I really want you to talk about the ways that you can gift a house portrait.
Well, there's a farm in Minster, Ohio. The kids had me commission a farm portrait for their parents. This was right when I started out. And there were 12 kids. Hmm. And I ended up redrawing that farm 11 times because all the kids wanted it. But the parents were moving to a retirement home.
Yeah.
And
there you have it.
What better way to take the memories with them? And I remember there was an Oliver Hart Parr tractor on one farm that I had to redraw because Grandpa retrofitted it so it had rubber tires, but the original ones didn't. There's a lot of research and a lot of juicy memories that come out. Really fun stuff.
And you want to make the memory accurate.
I do.
So if somebody is going to downsize, if you've got parents that are moving into a smaller place, taking a photo, a picture, an illustration, a portrait of their house would actually, to me, seems like it would make the transition easier.
There's a healing about helping us. We all have to deal with the issues of life, the memories, the attachments, the things that bring a tear to our eyes at every turn of the page. I think a drawing that sums things up can have some small part in doing that. I also do anniversary art. That's another subject. But looping in memories of deceased relatives in house portraits or anniversary art. I had one experience where a dad spoke about a child who died at age 2 for the first time in 40 years when he was given the drawing.
Wow.
There was not a dry eye in the room.
Yeah.
The gentleman for whom I redrew the farm in Transylvania that had been burned to the ground by the Russians in World War II. Oh, what a thrill it was. I had to redraw that from village architecture and from his thankfully very excellent memory. Had to get the right livestock in, but there was a lot of healing in presenting that drawing to that gentleman who had left his family farm at age 13 to avoid being conscripted by the Nazis.
Wow.
Houses have a lot of stories. They're not just brick and mortar. They're not just architecture. They're a big box for memories.
So what's it like when you are getting to know this family and you're like sort of submerged in them for a while? What does that feel like?
I have this illusory notion that I'm part of the family. And then I do reconnect with people over the years on my Facebook page and lots of other places. It's very touching, but it's a wonderful connection. But it's also a responsibility because you have to handle things tenderly and gently, and you can't be intrusive or you can't assume. I redid a drawing once because I had been cavalier about the lady's trees. Every tree in her front yard mattered to her, and I had moved them so that the door showed. I redrew that puppy. I did.
Wow. So the classic question, all of the things that you do, because you are a writer, you are an artist, this seems to be your favorite thing of all the things that you do.
Oh, it's so hard to pick. But yes. The books about talking pigs are fun to write, but then they're done and I don't get to keep drawing. House portraits have been a recurring delight for 24 years.
And I've known you for a long time. You always have, in fact, you're doing it right now, you always have paper and pen. Usually it's one of those blank books that's a journal, and you've got it with you all the time. There it is. And you write all the time, and then you're also doodling all the time. So how many of these do you have, and what are you putting in them?
35, but who's counting?
35 completed
journals.
Books. Yeah. And every inch of it, every corner is filled.
Do you get a new one every year?
I do indeed.
Even if it's not filled up at the end of the year, you start fresh on a new year.
It's filled up at the end of the year.
You probably have more than one for each year.
No. I finally got a journal that only had 161 pages because I came to the realization that not every day of my life merited an entire page of a journal.
Okay.
What
are you writing?
But it helps me focus. Honestly, I write dumb stuff. But if you can't, Edwin Newman said, if you can't say what you mean, you don't know what you mean. Mm. I find that forcing myself to put things into words has a tremendous clarifying effect on my thinking. And I would encourage journal keeping for anybody. It just helps you think.
When did you begin art training, or did you?
I was an English major.
That does not surprise me.
So how did you become such a really... I look at your work. You're probably my favorite illustrator. I love your work. How did you get that good?
I love it. And I kept drawing. And that would be... I'd like to get more training. I take classes whenever I can in other medium. But the biggest thing is I practice. Mm-hmm. And I tell kids in schools. Mm-hmm. And I teach. Read, write, and draw. I've taught gifted camps. And I encourage passionately kids to put down the game controller and get out a pen and pencil. There is something that facilitates learning about the act of putting pencil to paper. Mm-hmm. There's it forces the brain cells to line up in a way that nothing else does, in my opinion.
Yeah. You also have a particular pen that you use for your writing also for your illustrating. So how did you choose that one and why?
Oh, I worked in a graphic arts office, and Statler Mars or Rapidographs are the go-to, and don't get me started on this, but technical pens that you can refill with really good black ink that's permanent and will not smear because I'm left-handed. And smearing is a...
I would not have guessed that.
And you've also chosen... I remember you saying you chose an ink that lasts, but that the lines of this particular pen, you can always count on them. They are going to consistently be a good line.
In life, reliability is a lovely thing.
Yeah,
yes.
Rare. So what are you working on now?
I have a town map coming up, one of those business maps. That includes all the businesses in the town. Oh, it's like getting paid to eat ice cream. It's really fun. I've got a couple of house portraits. I'm working on a sequel to the Pigley book, which also focuses on architecture. In Pigville, the buildings get to be de puns. The coffee barons have a house shaped like a coffee pot. The whole novel centers around a mansion that looks like a resting pig from far away. I'm going to write the sequel. I've got the outline done. I'm very excited.
And I have read The Pigleys and the 100-Year Mystery, and I love it. I would recommend it as a read aloud. And again, if you...
I was thinking the same thing when I was just scanning it earlier. It's a great story time book, whether it's before nap time or bedtime, or just you'll have to wait for those times of putting kids to sleep to read to them.
It's got, and it's the wording in it that I love. I mean, the story's good, but the wording in it.
Greasy green bell bottoms.
Yeah.
I don't want to wear them, but I love seeing it in print.
Just beautiful, beautiful ways that you put words together that are so picturesque. We are giving away 2 copies of Mary's book, The Pigleys and the 100-Year Mystery. And like we were saying, this is a great read aloud with your kids. We're also going to put in a packet of note cards. And these are Mary's original art. These will go to callers 4 and 5, who is the parent of a child aged 6 to 14, that they can read the book to them or have the children read the book. And then you'll also get these these beautiful note cards. So callers, 3 and 4 who call in that have, I'm sorry, 4 and 5 who have not won anything in the past 60 days, call for your chance to win. 260-745.
No, Mary, put your hand down.
9090. Mary, what is it that you want to say?
A mom who was reading the book to an older child had her 3-year-old tug at her sleeve on the way out of the room saying, "More piggies."
Nice. 260-745-9090.
Mary, you are everything that Peggy Sue said that you are. And one of the things I was thinking of as you were talking about that these house portraits, they really are about the heart of the home. There's so much in life, especially as you get older, there's a lot of letting go. Some of it is forced upon you as people die or move on or whatever. It's forced upon you. And I think what this house portrait does is allow somebody to receive back their life and take it with them. And I think it's such a wonderful gift. If you have parents like mine were toward the end of their life when they would have birthdays or Mother's Day, Father's Day, Christmas, and we would say, because we wanted to give them something, because we love them. And we would think we came up with a great idea, and both my mom and dad would say, "We don't need anything." Mm-hmm. My dad had the rattiest cream-colored sweater. I mean, rattiest. Holes, pills. And Doug and I bought him a brand new sweater for Christmas. Same color, because we thought, okay, the color matters. He never wore it. He always wore his same ratty sweater. But I can't think of a more meaningful gift for your parents or grandparents. I think that maybe the challenge will be to figure out, which house do you want to do? Is it the house that one of them grew up in? Was it their first house? You know, you can make that decision. You know your parents better, but I love this idea. Mary, before you go, how long does it take you from the initial meeting with the family to interview them to actually having the finalized house portrait that you give to that person?
I ask for a 3-week turnaround.
That's better than I thought.
That's fast, especially when you have to go back and change the wheels on the tractor.
I have indeed, or redraw the misplaced trees.
Right, move the trees.
We're going to find another reason to talk to you. Thank you, Mary Coons, for joining us. It is 10:34. You're listening to Mid-Morning Spots and Spotlights. I'm Lynn Ford, along with Peggy Sue Wells and all of you. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Thursday. And we do have our winners. Thank you for your phone calls. We have additional things to give away during the Spots and Spotlights, so keep it on family-friendly and commercial-free. WBCL.